All right. And hopefully you guys can see my slides. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for letting us present today. Kinga and I are going to talk a little bit about our StrokeNet Clinical Research Professional Education Training Core, which is one of our newest cores that we have with StrokeNet. I'd like to take a minute to just introduce the members of our core team. So in addition to myself and Kinga, we also have Tammy Davis, Jason Weimer, Crystal Schmidt, Abby Stagitis, Dave Haney, Karen Rapp, and then from the NCC, we also have Laura Bankin, Amy Sulkin, Jennifer Golan, Callie Beasley, and Christine Consulis. We also have members from NCC leadership, which include Dr. Broderick, Dr. Guthrie, Dr. Mistry, Iris, and Jeannie, who also help out with the core. From NIH, Miriam has been a part of our group as well. And then from the fellow education core, we also have Stephanie Willebrand and Andrea Escobar. So I do want to take a minute to just thank all of you guys so much for helping out with our planning of the different education sessions that we've had with the coordinators and some more of the long-term planning that we have for other education materials that we'd like to have for the coordinators and for the RCC managers. So the objectives of our CRP core include the NC creating a training checklist, and hopefully this will be something that will be helpful for new coordinators and RCC managers, and for those of us who've been around for quite some time, just of new things that are coming about that would help us with the management of our network, as well as with the different trials that we're doing. As you guys might be aware, the website is undergoing reorganization. And in one of our later slides, Laura will talk a little bit about kind of how we're envisioning the education tab to be set up. And hopefully this will help with improving accessibility and finding those helpful resources that we may need to help us with our trials and to help with our training and education. One of the other things that we also did, King and I, we did an ongoing needs assessment with the RCC managers. And so we'll talk to you about that in just a little bit about our findings. And then we have bi-monthly to monthly CRP core meetings. And so the group on the previous slide, we meet once a month to review what are some different topics that we'd like to discuss with the coordinators and RCC managers. And we're also meeting to discuss what are some future educational plans that we have for the teams. And then once a month, we also have the RCC manager and coordinator meetings. So these are the meetings that we have with all the coordinators to provide additional training and education. And then one of the other things that we are also working on is developing a mentoring program. So with the needs assessment, so back in November of 2023 through January of 2024, Kinga and I met with each and every RCC manager from the different RCC. So I do want to thank all of you guys for taking the time out of your day to meet with both Kinga and I and to just let us know a little bit about how things work at your RCC and your satellite sites. How do you guys manage your networks? Learning a little bit more about, do you guys use e-consenting, about what platforms you use for your EMR, and just to get really helpful feedback from you guys of what has worked at your RCC. And from what we've learned from this, hopefully this will help with the education that we provide back to the whole community. And then, so we did collect data on 25 of the RCCs and their affiliates. And now I will pass this next slide to Kinga.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for your time today. We did collect data from 25 out of the 27 RCCs to not being quite ready to provide the information that we were collecting, and we will reconvene with them a little bit later this year. But we collected a lot of information, and the data has been compiled and separated. But today we will focus on top five findings. So we wanted to talk a little bit about acute trial support and challenges. We wanted to understand who are the research team at the individual hospitals? What are the current education needs? We wanted to find out if the managers and research staff feel supported. And then we also wanted to see how often is e-consent being used and what the current barriers are. Next slide, please. So, as far as the acute trial support and challenges, nine of the RCCs don't have any after-hours coverage. And this is mainly because they don't have a dedicated coordinator who can be on call 24/7 or even extended hours. The coordinators are not expected to come in during nights and weekends. There is no additional pay available to support this coordinator's extra time. Comp time is being offered, and certain coordinators happen to be able to stay after hours. IDS pharmacy is very expensive after business hours or not available. And then the teams are typically small with no backup coordinators, and it's just a hard work-life balance with a high turnaround in coordinating staff. 15 of the RCCs have 24/7 or limited after-hours coverage. Most of the time, that extra coverage is being performed by clinical team, fellows in particular. A few sites have actual call schedules for coordinators, and then the salaries are a little bit higher to compensate for this on-call, which is presented during the hiring process and being accounted for. Acute stroke recruitment is done remotely. Clinicians are the boots on the ground with the coordinator supporting remotely. Research pharmacy is 24/7, which is usually a plus. And then the coordinator is on call 24/7 by their personal choice and with no backup. Next slide, please. We also wanted to understand the research teams. Most of the sites have a mix of RNs, CCRPs, non-licensed research staff, international medical graduates, post-bac interns. Some sites have a very clear career path for coordinators, three levels: an entry level, which is a research assistant one, and then after a year or two of experience, they can progress to a research assistant two, an experienced coordinator. And usually the level threes are more experienced individuals, such as research nurse coordinators. Some of the research coordinators do not have reliable clinical knowledge, so that is definitely a need that we have identified. And most RCCs have CTSAs, and usually that comes with optional training opportunities at most sites. And not everybody is taking advantage of all of the different training opportunities that do exist at the sites. Next, please. Current educational needs that have been identified, and it was pretty much a consensus that we need short, pragmatic how-to videos and slides on basics, source documentation, how to make corrections, AE and SAE reporting, checklists. Everything is in the works. So I'm happy to report that, this is not just a work in progress. All of these are already planned educational sessions or on the website. Reorganization of existing resources and WebDCU toolbox. WebDCU toolbox, we've been told that may not be necessarily, we may not be able to reorganize it, but we will focus on things that we can do, which is the updated website that Laura will get into a little bit later. Renaming the existing webinars, abstracting the education piece into a separate slide deck, hashtag system to make the existing documents searchable by keywords. So this is very important because a lot of individuals within the network have created amazing resources and webinars that just have a very generic name with a date associated to it. So it's really hard to find that resource, even though you know that that exists somewhere. So which is why the restructuring of the website is just very, very, very important. One-on-one mentorship, we've been told that that is very helpful and should be consistent for all new RCC managers. And we are going to extend this to our coordinator, site coordinators as well. Strengthening the stroke knowledge, standard, what is considered standard of care versus research in imaging, pharmacy, etc. Lunch and learns were received warmly. In-person boot camps for coordinators and managers where cases can be discussed on a peer-to-peer basis. Everybody seemed to be very excited about potentially getting together either in person or virtually if all else fails to do this boot camp. And having clear definitions of roles and responsibilities between the different study team members, PIs, sub-Is, fellows, managers, coordinator, and trial-specific central project managers. I think it's very, very important to have so that if to have this delineated so everybody knows what they are individually responsible for. Next, please. And I am passing this on to Tina.
So one of the other questions that we asked the RCC managers is whether or not they feel supported in their role. And so of the managers who were surveyed, 21 did say that they do feel supported. They feel that their PIs are engaged with their RCC. With their RCC, they have a great working relationship with their PI. They feel supported by their PI, their department. They are recognized for their hard work and the prestige that they bring to their institutions. These RCC managers have regular meetings with their stroke attendings. And one of the things that quite a few of the RCC managers mentioned is having the ability to have some sort of hybrid model where it can help them with their work-life balance. So whether if they have a couple days remote or, having some way to make life flexible, that has been really helpful for quite a few of the RCC managers. We did have a few RCC managers who did feel, especially if they joined the role later on, so maybe an institution had an RCC manager change, not feeling that the transition was quite as helpful. And so hopefully that's one thing that the CRP Corps can help with in the future is helping with the training of new RCC managers. Some of the concepts may have felt a bit abstract. As Kinga just mentioned, the role of an RCC manager is very different from a trial coordinator. And so there are certain things that we help with, like the RPPRs, for example, which are a little different. And so just kind of helping with that training and education of, what does the RCC manager do versus the trial specific coordinators, I think will hopefully help going forward. These past few years have been a little hard. We've dealt with COVID, we've dealt with the competitive renewal. So hopefully, these are things that we can continue to improve upon. Hopefully also helping with, explaining what are the regulatory duties. And then some of our institutions have been a little understaffed. Hopefully this is continuing to improve as well. One of the other things we talked about at the meeting in Toronto is about e-consenting. And it was a really interesting discussion with the RCC managers of some sites, being really well versed in e-consenting, some being much more paper focused. And so that was one of the topics of conversation I had with the RCC managers of, how prevalent is it for sites to be using e-consenting and are there any barriers? And so most RCCs and satellites have some version of e-consent that they are currently using. Most sites do feel comfortable using e-consent if it's like a remote situation where like the LAR is at a different center compared to where the patient is at. Only a few sites have been using e-consenting when the patient is on site. And so that's one of the things that we'll be working on is to see how can we continue to roll out more e-consenting going forward in the future. But one of the things quite a few sites did mention is not having a dedicated tablet. And so that is one of the things that we discussed of, ways of potentially acquiring a tablet if there's funds left in the RCC budget, or if there's ways departments can kind of help with this, or if there's other tools, using a workstation that happens to be in the patient's room, just ways to kind of help making e-consenting a little bit more prevalent. Some of the negatives that we did here, with our stroke patients, they are an older patient population, so they may not be as tech savvy or wanting to deal with that. So we'll just kind of deal with this on a case-by-case basis. Some institutions do prefer paper over using e-consent. And then, like I mentioned, just having that lack of a dedicated tablet. So this will be one of the things we'll continue to work on in the upcoming years. How can we continue to roll out e-consenting a little bit more at the different centers? And then again, also having kind of what are the metrics and expectations from StrokeNet. As Dr. Guthrie mentioned at the beginning of today's presentation, that we do have the advisory committee for telemedicine, so hopefully we'll get some more guidance from them in the coming months as well. And hopefully if all the RCCs and sites have a way to get a tablet, hopefully this will help with improving getting e-consent. And then of course, one of the other things we'd like to do too is, how do we consent? So that's one of the sessions that we'll have later this month on April 24th when we have our next coordinator webinar. Abby Stikaitis, as well as Iris Deeds, will also be providing a presentation about e-consenting. So hopefully this will help our sites with getting that refresher of how does this process work. And then, so what have we been up to these past several months? So back in January, we had all the StrokeNet program managers provide updates about their ongoing trials. Kinga and I gave updates about the needs assessments. In February, Miriam provided a fantastic presentation about the interim RPPR. This was extremely helpful for all RCCs of kind of knowing what to do because the interim RPPR was a little different. Last time we did one, it was a final RPPR when we switched from U10 to U24 grant. So this was really, really helpful. So Miriam, thank you so much if you're on the call today. Last month, Jason Weimer and Noor Sabaha gave a fantastic presentation about kind of pharmacy and, what is the coordinator perspective of when we're dealing with a drug trial? How is it when a coordinator is working with pharmacy? What are kind of the right things to be doing, right words to be saying, and then from a pharmacy perspective, what happens as they're preparing the medication, and then how to kind of make sure we have those open lines of communication. As I mentioned, this month we'll have the e-consenting presentation by Iris and Abby, and then in May we'll have a presentation about source documentation. And then I will send it back to Kinga.
We will talk a little bit about mentoring and creating a community. So Hina and I have been mentoring new RCC managers for the past probably 2, 3 years. We've been continuing to do this, and we are looking to standardize this anytime a new RCC manager steps into that role. There is a task force that has been developed within the core to create a formal mentoring program for trial coordinators. And, within the core, we are continuously exploring ideas of how to create a community for our basically research professionals, the managers and coordinators, but everybody else as well. And then, we will provide additional resources on the updated StrokeNet website. Next, Laura.
Speaking of the updated education tab on the StrokeNet website, this is our vision that will hopefully go live next week of our new education tab. Before, all of the materials were sort of dumped together on one page, but now we have it segmented between the fellow education core, the CRP or Clinical Research Professional Education Core, and then RCC manager education. We worked with each of these individual groups to organize the education materials on what currently exists on the old website and copied it over to this new one. So things are just a little more organized by, what your role is. And easier to sort of pull out the different mechanisms that you're looking for. So under the fellow education tab, there's a fellow directory that has current and historical information about StrokeNet fellows, a documentation segment, an area where all their grand rounds are posted, professional development webinars, basic science webinars, and research enrichment tools. The CRP site has the new coordinator training guide, which was a collaborative effort to create between the fellow education core and some of our RCC managers. This has been programmed into the new education tab. So for any new hire coordinator at any performance site for StrokeNet, they will be able to go to this one location and have a checklist of training that they can go through to prepare themselves to enroll subjects for StrokeNet. We also have under the CRP education course site a series of six webinars on stroke education. Again, they were prepared for an entry level site coordinator to educate them on stroke. Our monthly coordinator webinars, that there's a section of the website for those specifically. We detailed those a little bit more, gave a description of what the video was about, and we make sure we have the video and the slides for each one of those webinars. And then some Advara Central IRB resources. For the RCC Management Education website, that too has an RCC manager training guide for new RCC managers, their specific training once they get into that position. This is much more organized, and we hope that you guys will enjoy and be able to use this education tab a little bit more as a tool in the future. Again, we're hoping it'll go live next week. And we will send out the new link when it launches to all of our RCCs, and you can distribute it to your satellite sites and performance sites from there. Thank you.
We also have some work in progress. We are trying to come up with like a career development idea and topics that will be rolled out a little bit later in the year. We are creating specialty subcommittees to this core, pharmacy being the first one, and Noor Sabaga will be taking lead on that. And we are going to explore adding educational credits to these educational offerings. We are starting with pharmacy, where it's a lot more work than what it should be or it sounds like. We are gonna try to start with pharmacy and then work our way through other options. And then the coordinator boot camp would be one of those yearly options where we can potentially add CEUs too. And then we will also add a joint email address to the revamped website that will go. We didn't quite decide who all will be on it, whether the entire core or select members of the core, but that email can be used to get answers in somewhat real time to pressing questions. And I think this was all that we have prepared for you today. Thank you so much. We've been busy. And then we are open for questions.
Kinga, Hina,
Yeah,
Laura,
check,
there's
yeah.
already a lot of enthusiasm about the website, and I know that takes a lot of work to organize stuff like that. And so thank you for that and what you're planning to do. This is really important for the network. One of the most, it's a particular aim for StrokeNet 3.0 because of its importance. So thank you.
You are a lifeblood. And just a reminder too about the CTSAs, there's resources there, and that'll be helpful getting maybe best practices at respective CTSAs as you build the infrastructure for this. And but wonderful job. And you and in a short time period, you really made tremendous progress. So thank you. Pooja and I would just go, we're open up to questions from the large, either related to just what we just discussed or anything related to StrokeNet. So, and so whether you want to raise your hand or you want to just put something in the chat.